ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Good morning. Yes. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Or Sunday night.
Or whenever you're listening to this on the podcast.
Very true. Happy day.
Happy day.
Welcome to your day.
Oh, happy day.
Yes, we are here. We are live. We're hanging out with you. I'm excited. I've missed you.
I'm kind of excited. I'm just being honest.
You're like, I'm at like a 40%.
Yeah.
You've been sick, though, so... Ugh.
I was sick. That was not fun.
Yeah, everybody around here has been sick, and I'm trying desperately to stay away from
everyone. I think, though, that I had food poisoning. I don't think it was actually the flu.
Wow.
Because I threw up for about 24 hours, then it was done.
Oh, good. Gross. Yeah, Teo's been out sick.
Sick.
Yeah, so.
Dude.
Oh, yeah. You just realized that.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
We usually spray the studio down, but show just kind of happens so quickly.
Dude.
Sorry, man.
Gnarly.
Just don't make out with the microphone. You got this.
Dude, I just got his, like, goobers in my mouth.
He's been taking medicine for days.
Doesn't help.
Same with Stever. That dude's got like a bronchial infection. Everybody's sick around here, so.
Bronchial infection, like from a bronchiosaurus?
Yes, absolutely. They saw the Transformers trailer for the new movie.
I heard you guys talking about that.
Yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah. This is the thing though, you've got to understand with all like comic book movies, I've never read the comic books Like, you guys talk, oh, there wasn't this and that. I'm like, oh, I don't care. It looked cool.
Yeah. The dinosaurs are the size of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. But
now,
yeah,
what are they in the comic book?
They're just like, you know, hey, there's Grimlock and then there's Optimus Prime. They're like the same height. Grimlock was the T-Rex. And so he talked and he was totally just like, me, Grimlock.
Just like instead of being a car.
Like a caveman.
Instead of being a car, he's a dinosaur.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. If I could choose what I would be, I wouldn't be a viper. I'd be a T-Rex.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you're a transformer. Do you want to be a car or a freaking dinosaur? I'll pick the dinosaur.
That's very true. I wonder if they're going to be like the ancient ones that we thought were extinct, but they've been here for 4.6 billion years because of carbon dating.
Mm.
We know those transformers have been around longer. Bill Nye. It's science.
Science.
You didn't watch last night?
No. Tell me about it.
It was interesting. I always have to go through Beenix. So I'm like, I'm waiting. I have some questions here. No, you know, last night there was a debate on CNN and, we watched it on the tele and, it was Bill Nye, the science guy versus, if you will, debating Ken Ham from, the Creation Institute. And,
it was on CNN.
It's
big.
Yeah. And so it was interesting, and there were some good points, but I would say equally, Bill Nye would you know, say, hey, man, look, the Big Bang, or, you know, they were talking the Big Bang, they were talking these different things, and he's like, I'm a scientist, so I just need, if you can provide anything, show me anything that proved that the flood really happened, or that, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of times the answers were, well, it did because the Bible says so. Hmm. And to a scientist, that's not, it's not a solid answer. That's a, okay, cool, man. You keep quoting this book. And he kept saying that you keep quoting this book that's thousands of years old. That's been translated numerous times. And now it's in your modern English language. And you're using that modern English language translation to tell me about something that happened thousands of years ago. And science can't prove that it actually happened. So, show me some evidence that the flood really happened, you know? And unfortunately, he really couldn't provide that. Hmm. So It was an interesting debate. There were some good questions back and forth. There was a Q&A at the end. And, there were some great questions asked to Bill Nye, like, well, okay, matter. How do we get life from matter? And he, I mean, he doesn't know. He didn't have answers to any of those. I don't know. But the difference was he would say, I don't know, but I want to know. I want to find out. And then Ken Ham would say, actually, there's a book that answers that for you. And that was what he kept going. That was, and people in the audience were laughing because that was kind of his go-to answer and was, well, there's actually a pretty great book that has the answer. We know that God, because the book of Genesis says da, 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 but that was the constant rebuttal to a man of science was, well, this book. But,
see, but this is my thing. Like Ken Ham, like, he, I mean, he's a smart guy, but when I look at like, you know, creationists, there's some, in my opinion, far brighter and far better studied guys to talk about creation and to talk about, you know, the scientific evidence for that, you know? I forget the name of the guy, but he wrote that Darwin's Black Box. Have you read that?
Yes.
Great. I mean, just incredible.
I'm going to get the name for everybody listening so they go, oh, okay.
And there's also a great book, again, the author skips me, but it's called In the Beginning, and it's a whole account of creation and the scientific evidence supporting creation. So there's some great...
Michael Bay. Michael B.E. Behe.
Michael Bay, because I'm like, no, that guy's doing the Ninja Turtles.
Michael Bay. B-E-H-E. Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Michael Bay.
So I think there's some other guys, you know, who are, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so it was interesting, and it comes down to that conversation, and this could be good for Shock Therapy Live, could be good for Theology Thursday, whatever, but the question arises, how do we talk to people? How do we share our faith? And yesterday it seemed, watching it, Bill Nye would go, okay, but here's some scientific evidence or proof, and you know what, I will say, Ken Ham did a great job, you know, when it came down to carbon dating and how unreliable it is, and can we trust these things, and here's why we can't trust these things, here's some great examples. So he did do a good job with certain things. However, every time Bill Nye refuted the Bible and said, you're just quoting this book that's thousands of years old, that's been translated, how do you know it's not misinterpreted, how do we know? And it's like, well, because God said it wasn't, well, because we know, you know. So if somebody's talking to us about scripture, and how do we know it's the inerrant word of God? Because it's easy for us as believers to go, well, because God said so, because Dad said so. But to the unbeliever, that doesn't say anything to them. So that's why we need to be equipped, why we need to have an answer, why we need to know, well, how can we rely on the Bible as God's word, you know? So
yeah.
But you that's where you need Ravi Zacharias or somebody in
there. Have you seen Ray Comfort did that thing on like college campuses, like getting people, you know, talking about abortion and things like that.
Yeah.
He just recently did a new one talking to people on college campuses, professors.
Really?
And evolutionists about evolution and creation.
Okay.
And it's really interesting, you know, it's one of those things you watch, and he really plays more off the idea that, again, cause his goal is within like 5 minutes to get people to, you know, at least question what they believe in or get them to, you know, switch. And so he did this, this program, and it's really not in that 5 minutes. He's really not presenting a ton of evidence for creation, but he's bringing up like enough serious doubts that, I mean, professors of evolution at schools are saying, I don't really know, you know,
right.
And it's kind of, and it's really, really interesting to watch.
That's cool. Yeah. I know the Truth Project, Focus on the Family, did the Truth Project, and their 1 hour segment on evolution versus creationism was very fascinating as well. Presenting those things. And again, that was, I think, the biggest issue I had last night was on both sides, because there were plenty of times where, Bill Nye would go off on a tangent. You could tell dude's a TV personality. Hey, I was on television. He knew how to play to the audience. He knew when to crack the right joke. He knew when to tell a really ridiculous story that had nothing to do with what was happening. But by the end, you were scratching your head so much so that you were like, wait, what did those pills have to do with evolution or the Big Bang? Or, so there were a few times where they both definitely got off track. It was just like this weird, like watching your grandparents argue.
Yeah.
Because you're like, Grandpa, you didn't answer his question. Grandma, are you? It was like, it was interesting.
You know, and I think that's one of those things. I think ultimately probably creationists and evolutionists probably hate watching stuff like that because the guy never presents the argument you wish he would.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm sure it's not just Christians that say, man, he should have brought up this.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's those evolutionist arguments that evolutionists watch Bill Nye like, oh gosh, why didn't he say that? He just kind of sat there and said stupid jokes. He should have said this.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure it goes both ways that, and part of that is, you know, when you're in a conversation with somebody, there's oftentimes those plans. Like, you know, I remember so many times I've gone, and that's why it's so hard to tell someone how to street witness or how to evangelize or how to, you know, share the truth or share apologetics, because every time I've ever gone into a conversation with a plan, it's never gone according to plan.
Right.
Because a conversation leads a certain way, and you can't say, well, let me tell you about the 10 spiritual truths.
Right.
Well, I was telling you about my sister.
Right.
Oh, right. She needs those too.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just derail a conversation and go to your plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I really hate that concept. So people who use gimmicks, like I know there's some people who use a coin and say, hey, I want to give you this coin. And on one side it says John 3:16. On the other side, it has the Lord's Prayer. I really hate that because it's not a natural conversation.
Right.
And so to let a natural conversation happen, which is how evangelism should be done, you have to be prepared for anything. And you've got to be willing to go. You know, if someone goes in a different direction, say, okay, you know, I don't know, I'm not firm in this area, but I'm going to go with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that's why it's so hard, especially evolution versus creationism, because what happens is you could be talking about a subject and just go completely haywire and say, well, you know, let me talk about the missing links because there really aren't any. You know, it's hard to just do a sideline to some of those subjects. You know?
It very much felt like that because they had the rebuttals, they had the back and forth. And 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. And we'll take it to line one. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I had a question about creationism. I go to Liberty University online, and they teach a 6,000-year-old creationism theory. And I was wondering what you guys thought on that.
What we think on the Earth being 6,000 years old?
Yeah.
Yes.
The young Earth versus the older.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, here's the hardest part that I have with this. Ultimately, we don't know.
Right.
And that's always, I think Christians have a really hard time admitting certain things like that.
Yeah.
Like, we really don't know exactly how old the earth is because we weren't at creation when God created the earth. And a big part of this really comes down to the concept of whether people believe in a literal 6-day creation or whether they believe that each day is 1,000 years or, you know, ultimately, I don't believe in a million billion year old earth. I don't. I don't think that science proves it. I think that the account of the Bible clearly, contradicts it. And so I stick with what the Bible says. But when it comes down to if the earth is 6,000 years old or 12,000 years old, you know, when it comes down to kind of some of those things, we really don't know because we weren't there in creation. And so, and this is the other thing that I would say. I really think that Christians get hung up on this and it's not that big of a deal. Honestly, I don't think it's that big of a deal because what happens is knowing how old the earth is doesn't determine where we're going to spend eternity.
Right.
You know, whether the earth is 6,000 years old or honestly, if the earth is 100,000 years old, it's not going to, determine whether or not Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for our sins.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, because I've seen both, and you know, you can say, well, if it's a literal 6 days, okay, so then that's it. Well, how long were they in the garden? That, you know, great point yesterday. How long were they in the garden that it could have been, totally could have been outside of time before the fall? How long were they enjoying God? How much could have happened in that time period where there was no death, where it was this perfected state?
Exactly.
Who knows? So that was another great one yesterday. And so you're right. But to answer the question as far as,
because there's no indication in Genesis that God created man, God created woman, they had sex, and the next day they ate of the tree.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so we really don't don't know. So whether it's 6,000, you want to say, well, let's give it a few thousand years, 10,000 years. And then on the flip side, it's like, no, it's 4.8 billion years old. Yesterday, the big debate, Ken Ham and Bill Nye came down to observational science versus historical science, what we can perceive with our eyes. And that's it. We don't know how old. We can't say, well, because of this carbon dating, if we take a look at this, this points to the fact that this is 4.8 billion because of the layers of ice, because of blah, 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 blah. There are faults on both sides with that, saying that it's got to be this or no, it can't be, because we just flat out don't know. Observation, we can observe what we see now, but we can't know historically that thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions. And so I agree with you that these arguments detract from the heart of it, from the point of it, that you need a savior.
And even within that, we believe, according to Genesis, that God created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
Now, I would have a question for you. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Could you explain to me what that looked like? What happened? What kind of a process happened as God created matter out of nothing? What did that look like? What kind of sounds did that make? Yeah. You know, we don't know what that looked like. So I'm not advocating that God started the Big Bang. I know some Christians will say, you know, no, well, God started evolution and he let it just kind of go. I believe God specifically created everything.
Right.
But I believe in this concept that God created something out of nothing. And so to a certain extent, I wouldn't call it the evolutionist idea of a Big Bang, but I'm sure there was a pretty big bang. You know what I mean? I'm sure when God created this matter out of nothing, this light, that it was a show to be seen. You know, that it was an energetic scene. And so, you know, I think that a lot of times we get hung up on these things that we think that we have to battle so hard, this concept, and know exactly what happened in the Genesis account and exactly how it happened, exactly how long ago it happened. And the same people who want to really have those firm answers are the same people who want to know exactly what heaven's going to look like, and they want to know exactly how salvation works, and they want to know exactly how an eternal God could never have been created but has always been there. They want to know everything, and so it those are the people who they can't wrap their minds around the fact that we serve an extremely powerful divine God who we cannot wrap our finite minds around because of his infinite power.
Yeah, yesterday Bill Nye made the point that you're telling me all these things from this book that he obviously didn't care about, and yet I can perceive with my own eyes and put up a fossil and said, I perceive with my own eyes this is truth, and what you're trying to tell me, you have nothing to back it up. And I immediately thought of the verse of the blessed is he who does not see and still believes, because you're right. We're constantly wanting to know. In this Google age, we need an answer for everything immediately. And if Google doesn't provide it within 3 minutes, then it must be false. And we just have to put it to rest and say, well, this can't be. I mean, even watching Bill Nye's argument yesterday, it was supposed to be creation versus evolution. And it turned into basically discrediting the Bible, because it moved very quickly onto Noah, the flood, how there's no way that the flood could have really happened, and it really got off on a lot of tangents where it wasn't going back to the quote unquote Big Bang. And I'm with you.
Well,
I don't
because that's really a big, you know, the flood is really a huge hinging point upon the Christian view, because, you know, scientists will say that a cataclysmic flood would play with the elements, play with fossils, play with the land, so where it would affect carbon dating. So where if someone says, oh, this is a billion years old, a cataclysmic event would change the makeup of some of those items.
Right.
And so, you know, that's one thing that creationists always go to is, well, you know, the flood, the Bible says a flood. And so, you know, the tables and, you know, in the fossils, it's not accurate according to what you scientists say.
Right.
And so it becomes a thing where the evolutionists then target the flood, because they see the flood as the biggest opponent of evolution, because if the flood didn't happen, then their carbon dating is correct.
Yeah, and so then 4,000 years ago, it could not, you know, according to Bill Nye, 4,000 years ago, it could not have happened because of the layers, and because if there had been a catastrophic flood over the whole of the earth, and, you know, A, B, and C would have happened, and since they did not happen, i.e. the flood did not really happen.
I think the big thing here is that if a flood happened, God would have had to make it happen.
Right.
And if God made a flood happen, I'm pretty sure he could deal up with the cleanup on aisle 5 afterwards.
Quite true.
It's like, God's like, God's like, okay, I got to punish sin.
But now I'm going to get Kate Lewis to Australia.
I'm going to flood the whole earth with water. Oh, crap, what do I do now? Yeah. Now the earth's, okay, I can't get the water off. Sorry, guys, you guys are going to live in, like, water world now for the rest of your life.
Right.
obviously God had a contingency plan if he flooded the earth.
Right.
So, you know, I think you don't have to – I think you just have to – the big thing is a belief in God. Yeah. If you have a belief in a divine God, believing in the flood and believing that God dealt with the flood afterwards isn't hard to believe.
Right.
But if you don't believe in God, yeah, it's really hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's about as hard to believe as the earth just came out of nothing and just – it was a big bang and that, you know, we're made of monkeys.
Right.
You know, it's about as hard to believe as that if you don't believe in God.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's a contingency on this whole entire concept that unless you believe in God, yeah, it's hard to believe, but we have that faith in God, and that belief in the unseen, you know.
Yeah. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Sorry, 505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live, although turned into a little Theology Thursday there for you.
Looks like we actually got a Shock Therapy Live question
that
we'll take.
All right, let's take it. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Not the reason I called, but real quick, I'm calling out Bill Nye to call you guys.
Oh, I don't. Please don't do that.
I know, right? Him call Brian Nixon.
Yes.
If he calls during the
or Nelson
Thursday,
Walker,
I would be way more comfortable with it. It was interesting, to say the least.
I wound up missing it, unfortunately.
Which is funny because Bill Nye was on Joey and Jenna, the old morning show, that, like a decade ago on this station.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Oh, no way. He's got roots there, huh?
Yeah. So
have him talk to B-Nix.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
The Bill Nye and the B-Nix.
Yes. Round two.
Yes.
I'd like to see Nelson Walker, because if Nelson Walker lost, he'd just tase him anyway, so it'd be a win-win to get that on film.
Nice.
Can't tase the science guy.
He loves electricity and stuff
this
like that.
That's true. That's right. It was just a science experiment.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on, man?
Here's my dilemma. I've got an 8-year-old little girl that I've been in the process of adopting for like 2 years now. She is my wife's biological daughter. Whenever I married my wife, my daughter is 3, or was 3 rather. And you know, I gave her a ring too, and
yeah,
you know, it was all sweet, but she was 3.
Right.
So she has no idea. But now it's, finally everything is starting to seem like there's an end and a light at the end of the tunnel for this. How do I go about telling her that I love her so very much and that I want her to be my daughter?
So is she's made aware that you are her stepdad, or to this point you said she was 3. Does she have an understanding that you're not her biological father?
I think she can tell because, you know, my wife and I and my son are all white. My son is pale as ever. He's a little redheaded boy. And my daughter is Hispanic. So people have said, oh, well, you know, her friends are, oh, why does your brother look so different and things like that? And she'll ask us and say, honey, you know, God made everybody different, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's unique. But I think she has maybe an idea. Maybe not. I like to think that I keep her kind of sheltered, but, I mean, good and bad there, but.
Yeah.
But, it scares me to death on what her reaction is going to be to find out this information.
Okay.
You know, this is what.
And she calls you daddy, I'm assuming.
Yeah, right? I've been there since, she was a year old. I've never met the other dude. He's a deadbeat.
Okay.
One of those guys.
Right.
This is what I would say. I think that in a situation like this, I think I dictate so much of what I do about based off of like movie culture. And I don't even know what movie this was, but I remember there was a movie where this kid was adopted and he was asking his dad, he's like, but you're not my real dad. And he responded, I might not be your biological father, but I am 100% your real dad. You know what I mean? This concept that, you know, and I view you, you've been in her life since, you know, she's 1 year old. You really are her dad. You're her real dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might not be her biological father, but honestly, I see this almost in the same way where people get sperm donation to have kids. Like in every sense of the word, you're the real dad. And
yeah,
that guy was just a sperm donor.
Well,
you know
see, but
I mean?
That's the question. She's 8 years old. My middle child, Luke, he's 8 years old, and I'm debating whether or not he would be prepared to handle a conversation like that if I were not his biological father. Because here's the implications of what you're saying right now. You're gonna have to try and explain to her that you're not her biological father. She's not really gonna have an understanding of what that means unless you in turn talk to her about what that means, i.e. sex. You know, how she was created, because she was created by two humans. One of them being your wife and one of them being some deadbeat dude. And so I don't think she's going to have an understanding unless you're really willing to, like, share with her what that means. Do you know what, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely.
And so
a double-edged sword
if you're prepared to have that conversation, which, I mean, 8 years old.
I would say that I think she's still an age. She's still young. I honestly, a subject like this, I would approach it when she asks you about it or when she asks her mom about it. Hey, mom, you know, and when it becomes a topic that she brings up, I would then talk about it there. Say, well, let's sit down and talk about it. And I think that that's better than, you know, she's at an age where you could spring something like that on her and it could, you know, really mess with her. I don't know. It could mess with her psyche. It could mess with, you know, her thought process. And, you know, she's at such a young age that I would personally hold off on that conversation.
From my understanding on what the attorney has said, is that he's going to want her at the hearing. He's going to want to talk to her. So, I mean, I can't really hide it from her.
The adoption, like you're wanting to adopt her, or
right
at the okay
at the court hearing.
Court hearing for adoption.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Which, I mean, I can't believe it's taken this long for like a private adoption. I mean, they've tried looking for him. They can't find him. I mean, done. He's not even on the birth certificate. So I don't know why this has taken so long.
So maybe you could phrase it in terms that she understands. I would say something like this. What's your daughter's name?
Naomi.
Naomi. So I'd say, Naomi, you know that I'm your daddy, right? Yes. You know I love you with all my heart. Yes. Okay. Well, you know that I'm your daddy, but the state of New Mexico doesn't understand that I'm your daddy yet. So we have to go to a place, it's a court, where they have to do some paperwork and they've got to ask you some questions so that the state views you as my daughter, so that they understand that I'm your daddy. And so you don't have to phrase it in this mindset that there's another guy who's also your daddy. And you don't have to, you know, necessarily have a whole conversation about adoption, but you can phrase it in terms that she understands and say, you know, yeah, you know that I'm your daddy, but the state wants to know that I'm your daddy. You know, we've got to go talk to a man that he wants to know that I'm your daddy as well. You know, and so it's you almost phrase it in terms that she understands, that she can comprehend, so that it's not as big of a, you know, it's not as big of a moment for her in that sense.
Yeah.
But ultimately, whether or not she's ready to hear that is something that you and your wife have to talk about. And if you feel that she is ready to hear it, then I would just both of you sit down with her and talk to her and say, hey, honey, we just want to talk to you for a second, let you know. And again, I would preface it with, you know that I love you, and I'm your daddy and you're my daughter. We want to let you know that, you know, when you were born with a different daddy. And you don't have to say that daddy, you know, abandoned you or anything like that, but you can just kind of phrase it in a mindset that you were born with a different daddy, and I think that there is a tactful way to do that, I just think it's got to be done really tenderly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I definitely dig the idea of, you know, explaining it to the state. The state's got to know.
Right.
I definitely dig that.
And I will tell you, I promise I'm paying attention. I'm texting at the same time because I happen to know somebody who is, I don't want to say an expert, but has some knowledge as to how to approach situations when dealing with children, children counseling and things like that. And so trying to get this person on the air so we can get an understanding of a better way to approach it.
Yeah.
To
you
help
guys,
you.
You guys rock.
Because, man, it's a big thing, you know, because I'm all about full disclosure with your children, but it's also one of those things that she's 8 years old and how do you approach it? Because the other thing you have to take into consideration is based upon the way that you present it, will you have to backtrack at some point and say, well, daddy okay, here's the thing. You know, daddy's your daddy, but daddy's not your, you know, biological daddy. Because at some point, that conversation is going to come up. So are you going to have to backtrack on any of the story that you've told her previously? Because then, can she trust what you're saying? You know?
Yeah, I mean, even within there, like, she's probably at an age where the whole idea of a biological dad doesn't make sense to her.
Right.
So even within that, you could say, I'm your real daddy, but you have a biological daddy as well.
Right.
And we've got to go to the state because the state wants to understand that I'm your real daddy.
Yeah.
You know, and so even if you use that word, I doubt she's at an age where she would comprehend that. But, you know, when she gets older, she'd say, oh, you know, I know there's a biological dad.
Yeah.
You know, and so you could phrase it because she's at an age where she doesn't understand probably what that means.
Yeah.
But, man,
and again, I mean, lots and lots yeah. of prayer. You and your wife, definitely, seek the Lord on that before you speak into it. And I also think of it as a dude who lost my father when I was six, and the concept of a dad biblically was so foreign to me. And so even to approach it from the aspect of us, we are God's adopted children. We were grafted into the vine because he loves us so much. So you obviously love your daughter so much, and you want everyone to know that she is your daughter. You guys are stamping this at the courthouse that you cherish her so much that you want everyone to know that she is your daughter. Is a great way.
You know, I think if you said, you know, we want to talk to you about something. We want to let you know that when you were first born, when you were just a little baby, you had a different daddy. And then right after that, I became your daddy.
Yeah.
And so, I had a different, what was his name? And then you can say, well, his name was so-and-so. Well, what happened to him? Well, we don't know, you know, yeah. he left. Oh, okay. But you know that I'm your daddy, right? Uh-huh. And I love you very much. Yeah, I know that. And yeah. you know, you can have a conversation and phrase it like that. And it can be a time, you know, where you can just let her know, look, when you were first born, when you were a little baby, you had a different daddy. And then I became your daddy, you know, and so you don't have to say he's your dad and I'm your adopted dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can phrase it in a way that it can come across in an understandable, easy to handle way.
All right.
Thanks for calling, man.
I really appreciate it, guys. This thing, I mean, it's been gnawing at me forever, and it just scares the life out of me.
Yeah. No, that's a big situation. So thanks for calling us with it and just being vulnerable and real with it, because yeah, that is a ginormous situation and needs to be handled obviously with care, and you obviously love your daughter very much. It's evident. So, man, just continue being a good daddy, because I promise you, being a solid daddy, being there, being her everything, is what is going to prove that you are her father, not some stupid piece of paper. I promise you, because that is so vital to be there and to love her and to be her daddy. So,
absolutely.
Definitely.
All right.
All right, man. Really God bless.
It. Hey, can I trouble you for, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Can I trouble you for a song request once the show's over?
Sure.
Right on. Thrive by Switchfoot.
All right. Can
right.
do.
Right on. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Have a great day.
Later, man.
All right. Our phone lines are jammed. Where are we going? Do you want to make that?
I just texted her, so
okay.
We'll see if she calls.
Okay. Well, let's take this. Let's go here. Line one. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Did Matt tell you that I wanted to switch topics back to creation?
Well, we were just kind of taking, you know, it's free flow, whatever, so.
Oh, so it's free flow. Okay.
Yeah. Shock Therapy Live.
My internet was cutting out last night. I did not hear all the debate.
Oh, okay.
At about the time that it cut out, they were talking about the age of the universe, the age of the Earth, and how starlight could not be reaching Earth if the stars were 6 billion light years away, but the Earth is only several thousand years old. Did Ken Ham ever talk about a solution to that that was proposed by one of our very own New Mexico scientists?
He did not. I mean, he talked a little bit. They did so much back and forth where they didn't really answer each other. It felt like a political debate, but,
That sounds fun. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah. It, he didn't necessarily answer, because when Bill Nye approached the light, he was also talking about knowing the future and being able to see the future type thing in the past, and observational science, and how we are observing the past because of the light and the way that it travels to your eyes. And so the people in the back of the room are in the past. And but that actually was not necessarily approached in that way. So if you have so, some science behind it, I would love to hear it.
So Russell Humphreys retired from Sandia National Labs several years ago. He was an astrophysics guy. He's written a book called Starlight and Time. And the best way to start out explaining this is a lot of people don't realize this, but if you build two different clocks and you put one of them on a satellite that's orbiting the Earth and the other one stays here on Earth, and they're the exactly the same atomic clock, very, very, very accurate, the one on the satellite will speed up because time is going faster for that clock. Have you ever heard that before?
I've not.
Okay, so that is an established fact. It's part of Einstein and relativity. Okay? It is established science. Several years ago, Russ Humphreys, after a lot of work, put together this book called Starlight and Time, where he went through the equations, he did the math, where in the very early stages of creation, God stretched out the heavens, he stretched out space.
Right.
In the book of Psalms, and especially in Isaiah, there's about 8 or 10 places in the Bible where it says that God stretched out the heavens very, very, very quickly. That is still happening today.
Right. And that's one thing I know that they were talking about last night, was the idea of the universe still stretching and expanding.
Right. But see, Bill Nye kept challenging Ken Hamill, you don't have any way to predict these things that we see. Well, if Ken Ham was a little bit more familiar with Russell Humphreys' work, he would say that there is a prediction there. There is an explanation there. And you don't get that from the non-biblical science, because they don't expect the Earth to be, the universe to be expanding like we know that it now is, that we now observe that it is expanding and accelerating in an expansion. But those clues, more than clues, 8 or 10 places in the Bible, it actually clearly says that. So in the very early time after creation, when God was stretching the universe, that is when, go back to the idea of the clocks, that is when the clocks of the stars that are a long, long way from us, time ran faster for those stars. Time ran slower for us here on Earth.
Okay.
And of course, this is assuming that we are at the middle of the universe, the center of the universe.
Right.
Biblically, we are.
Right.
So, the equations do work out that that as God stretched out the universe, he stretched out that starlight as well at the exact same time. Okay? Right now, secular scientists do not understand the universe. They don't understand why there's such a thing as dark matter, for example. There, about 90% of the universe we know from observation, 90% of the mass of the universe we don't see, we don't know what it is, we don't know where it is. People who work with Bill Nye and everybody in all the science space organizations know from measurement that 90% of the universe we don't know where it is, we don't know what it is. That's what they call dark matter. That is a predictable thing from the Bible. And I don't know Ken Ham, but I do know two of our most famous New Mexico scientists, John Bumgarner, who's a geophysicist. He's retired from Los Alamos. And I know Russell Humphreys less well than I know John Bumgarner. I don't know if Ken Ham is that familiar with their work. And it's interesting because it might be because Ken Ham runs a different creation science organization than Bumgarner and Humphreys are affiliated with. There's about three or four rather large creation science organizations. I don't know how well they borrow from each other or how well they or how much they talk to each other.
Yeah. Well, they should talk to each other.
Yeah.
They should have like conventions and luncheons where they plan out how they're going to attack evolutionists.
Stop it. It's true, though. Like,
they're like, okay, you take the back. I'll take the front.
So were you as frustrated as I was watching it last night? Because it sounds like
for the parts that I saw, yes.
Because it didn't seem like Bill Nye had any solid answers either, but his counter arguments seemed... They just seemed better put together, and or Ken Ham, his responses were very difficult because they were, to the believer, it's easy to go, well, because God's word says this or God's word says that, and we go, right. But to the person who doesn't care because they don't believe that God's word is true, it's not really something you can put up against science to those scientists who don't believe.
I think the point is, and I think what the caller is bringing up is that you can bring up creationism versus, you know, so
intelligibly.
That's what goes back to what you and I were saying is that I think there's always like, man, I wish someone else would have been on there. I wish you would have brought up this. I wish you would have brought up that.
No,
again, I'm sure the evolutionists feel the same way, you know, like, oh, I wish that Bill Nye would have brought up this argument.
Cracked a bow tie joke.
Yeah.
So, okay, for those that are curious, though, that are interested in this science, you mentioned Russell Humphreys.
John Bumgarner.
Okay.
Now, so if someone wants to get up to date, I think, on creation science, the thing to do is to visit the websites of the three or four major creation science organizations that have a fairly good reputation.
Okay.
Okay. So Answers in Genesis is Ken Ham's organization.
Right.
Okay. Institute for Creation Research is another one, and that is where John and Russell used to be affiliated with. They are still friendly with them, but because there was an administrative downsizing, they're not technically in their organization. Then there's another one called Creation Ministries International, which is fairly good as well from what I've seen. John Bumgarner, who retired from Los Alamos National Laboratory, did a lot of work on the flood, on the physics of the flood.
Okay.
John wrote a computer code many years ago to describe and to predict how earthquakes affect the Earth's crust. And he did that because at Los Alamos they want to listen to explosions and earthquakes in the Earth's crust because of nuclear weapons. If the North Koreans set off a weapon, we want to be able to listen to it, for example. So he wrote a computer code that describes all of those.
I agree with that about wanting to hear if the North Koreans fire a missile at us.
There we are.
I'm glad we agree on that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point that out.
No,
that
I know.
If I get nuked, I want to know about it.
Like ahead of time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, thank you so much for
So just real quickly about the Earth's crust and John Bumgarner's work as far as the flood goes. What he started realizing is that the Earth's crust doesn't just sit there. We know. There are earthquakes. The Earth's crust moves. The Earth's crust moves. At the Fukushima reactor catastrophe a couple years ago, it moved drastically. At the time of Noah's flood, John proved that it was possible that the Earth's crust would not only shift and move, it would start to recycle itself. It would start to conveyor belt itself, and that the plates of the Earth would actually start to conveyor, like in a conveyor belt, they would start to dive into the surface of the Earth would basically start to dive into the core of the Earth and then be completely refreshed. And that was something that he was calling runaway subduction, where the Earth's crust would massively, catastrophically move very, very quickly. So that when Noah was on the ark, he wasn't protected just from the aspects of the water. Literally, all hell broke loose on the Earth's crust.
Right.
The fountains of the deep broke open. The volcanoes broke open. Everything was completely resurfaced. down to the level of a few miles of the Earth's crust, everything was completely recycled in the sense that everything was completely, it was like taking a rototiller to the entire Earth. It wasn't this placid, passive seepage of water that just kind of trickled up.
I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. We've got a couple other callers for a few other questions.
Here's my question, though, because you seem like you are well-educated in this.
Extremely.
Yes, and so if I give you an email address, would you email me to where we could possibly have you on to talk about this? Because this
that would be
obviously
great.
Very fascinating.
Especially with the Bill
pertinent.
Nye stuff, it'd be great to take
exactly.
like
exactly.
Yeah.
I would love to have a full segment on
and post it
if I could. Would that be something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. Studio@mystaticradio.com is the email address here into the studio. Please email me because I would love to get in contact with you about how to talk about this further because this is
and I just
want
to say
I watched the whole thing last night, so this is like
and I
very
wish
intriguing
I wish that you would have been on the show with Bill Nye. It would have been much more effective.
I know. So please email me.
Don't even try to flatter me that much. Please.
I'm just saying.
All I know is your presentation is much more put together than his was.
Yeah. So I would love to. I would love to have you on the show to discuss.
What was your name?
First to last.
Oh, first is
first.
You can call me Ed. That's my middle name.
All right.
That's your middle name.
Middle name is Ed. Perfect. All right.
What's your last name, Ed?
He's not going to tell me on air right now. Will you please email me though? Because I really would love to have you on the show.
Yeah, I'll just my email will be obvious. It'll say something obvious.
Okay.
Great. Thank you
right
so
on,
much.
Man.
God
Thank
bless
you so
man.
Much. Okay.
All right. Thank All right. you. Bye.
Yes.
That guy's brilliant.
I'm telling you, I truly didn't want to cut him off, but it's like, man, this is Sean there and be live, and I know there's other people that have other questions, and this seems like something that could
it's
take...
It's a Theology Thursday question.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Or just flat Team Austin Morning Party, because I'll tell you what, that dude in the next room is crazy about science and magic, so I'm telling
science
you.
Science and
wait.
Magic?
Yeah, it's they go
so
hand
like,
in hand.
Okay.
Ask Doctor Strange. It's a real thing.
Oh.
Static!
Yeah, hi, Alice. Sorry, I don't have a science question.
That's
dude.
Totally cool.
That's okay.
I was like, man, how do you follow that? You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy, dude. That's so cool. Like, it was like Discovery and History Channel all at the same time, dude.
I know.
Yeah.
I promise. Cool. I promise you, we will have him on the show to discuss that, and we'll plug it before it happens.
That's cool. Yeah. So, real quick, I just had a real quick question. So, like. Sometimes my son, he's only 4 years old, dude. He's a 4-year-old kid. He's a cool kid. And, you know, it just, sometimes he sees me and my wife. I'll kiss my wife when I come in and nothing intimate or anything like that. But I notice he starts to pick up, like he's starting to notice stuff like that. Or even in Disney cartoons, you know, we'll go watch a movie and there's always like, you know, the hero and then gets the girl or stuff like that. And I'm like, he's 4, dude, going to be 5.
Right.
And I kind of, I'm like, he's like, Daddy, he's like, oh, he's like, well, how come he kissed her? And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, because they're not married. And I'm like, okay, he gets that concept. But sometimes right. It's like, even like when I hug my wife, you know, I hold her for a second and I started to notice he'll start trying to hug her and hold her for a second. And I'm just kind of like, oh, he's starting to pick up on stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And she'll tell him, no, you hug your mom, you know, hug mama. Like, I'm just like, dude, how do I, like, when's it, like, how do you, you know, he's 4, dude. You know, like, how do I?
I got you. I have 3 boys, so
dude.
I got you.
Yeah, dude, like, okay.
I got
so it's
you.
Like, how do you know when to communicate with them, like, hey, you know, that, you know, it's only for marriage, you know, you only kiss girls when it's marriage. And to have not so much the birds and the bees conversation, but just, like, the conversation of, how do you know when?
Here's a great way to do it. You can talk to him. Obviously, he's 4 years old and he's picking up on it. You don't have to have a birds and the bees conversation, but if he's already picking up on it, he needs to know that you cherish your wife and that this is something, this is a covenant relationship that God, man, views as incredible. And so.
I had the same question though, but how to have that with a 4-year old? Because I actually want to hear your answer with this too, because my son is 3.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
wait, are you asking me?
Yes, I really am. And I can't, I can't tell my son, Dad, son, I want you to know that Daddy cherishes Mom. He doesn't know what cherishes mean. And I can tell him, son, God ordained Mom to be my wife. He doesn't know any of that crap.
I agree.
Knows that when I give Mom a long hug or a kiss, or when we're cuddling in bed, when we're cuddling in bed, that then if he sees that, then he wants to hug mommy. He wants to, if we're in bed, he'll lay on top of mommy and hug her, and I'll say, Seth, don't do that. And he'll say, why not? And I'll say, because mommy's my wife. And he'll say, she's my wife.
That's the same scenario.
And I'll be like, I'll say, I love mommy. I love mommy too. So how do you distinguish love between the love that I have for mommy is different from the love that you have for
mommy?
Man,
I feel like I need to – oh, it is? Okay. Man, I want to go to line one then. We have 7 minutes of show. I was going to call my wife, but it turns out somebody else's wife is on line one. So because this works out, because you're right, it is a – man, I'm looking back, and I don't think I ever had that wait, don't do that, that's my wife moment. With Jack or Luke. Because I will tell you right now, my boys are 10, 8, and 1, and every single day, I don't care how weird people are going to think this, I kiss my boys every day.
Yeah.
Smack them on the lips.
Yeah.
I love my sons. And my oldest is 10 years old, and it's not like that's weird, it's a boy. I don't give a guess, my freaking son.
I do the same. Now, I will say this. My son is the same with my wife and me. He'll come in bed, and he'll want to, like, I think he associates, because when Janae and I cuddle, you know, we'll like, hold each other, and, you know, there's times when he'll come in the room, and we're cuddling. I'm not using the cuddling for another word, by the way. I'm not saying my son walks in on us.
I'm not trying to say cuddling or something else. R. Kelly's not in this.
So I'm just talking about, like, cuddling. Like, he'll come in and he'll see us cuddling. And so he wants to be a part of that. So he'll come and he'll, like, want to spoon me.
What? Wait, okay. Dude, I'm gonna freak you both out. Why is that awful?
No.
Why can't he spoon his daddy?
I just want him to understand that the relationship that my wife and I have cannot be the same relationship that we have with him.
Yes.
That's not – it's not as much that
– Okay.
I don't know.
The second Seth tries to, like,
I never spooned my dad.
Make out.
I
with
never
Janae,
spooned my dad.
We can talk, but
unless
me,
I did,
like,
when I was 3 years old, and he never told me about it because it would traumatize me. I don't have any knowledge of me ever spooning my dad.
Your dad is a giant ogre of a man. He's like 6'19". So.
He's 6'4", which is I'm 6'4".
So, but to a child, he's a big scary. He can be a big scary man. So maybe I don't know. I hug my kids. We sit on the couch. We all cuddle up and watch movies together.
Here, my wife said to switch lines. Know. So we're. Maybe she'll help us with this situation.
Right,
can we keep you on hold and switch lines?
All right,
absolutely.
All right,
man. Janae.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, bro.
Okay, real quick on this topic.
Yeah.
There definitely has to be a difference. But I think for the gentleman who's questioning it, the mom has to kind of intervene as well. And, like, just show that there's a difference, like, coming down to his level. Like, for me, I don't necessarily think it's bad to cuddle with your children.
Right.
Of course, Seth is welcome to. But my husband enjoys sleeping in the nude. So therefore, it eliminates it eliminates the ability for him to come and snuggle unless Nathan has clothes on, which oftentimes he does. However,
live, y'all.
That's where the difference is. Like,
this just got
there's
awkward.
An appropriate time for cuddling, in my opinion.
I've got the perfect answer. Nate, put some flipping clothes on. Cuddle your kid, bro. He needs nurturing and care and love. And when he's like 12, you can punch him and throw him in the dirt, and he'll be a boy and grow into a man and be a warrior. But right now, he's a little dude, and at 4 years old, just freaking let him cuddle.
No, we do let him cuddle. He cuddles with us probably every day.
Okay, let me ask a really awkward question, because apparently I'm not understanding it. Music, you shut up. Is Seth, like, trying to stick his tongue in your mouth here? Why is it weird that he's kissing you?
No, okay, no, but there has been times where, like, I knew
I don't want to talk
around
about
two
on
and
this
a
is
half
like a
that he was not okay, because he would say things about seeing mommy in certain clothing. Like, it just, oh, mommy, you look really pretty. Oh, mommy, I like that. And I'm like,
he's imitating his dad, right? Because this
I don't know, because if he sees, like, say I'm in a bathing suit, he likes to see mommy's belly. I want to touch. I'm like, no, you can't touch mommy's skin there. Like, that's not appropriate.
Okay.
So there's, I think he is all boy. He likes girls. I mean, he looks at pictures of girls in a little kid book and he'll go, Mommy, she's pretty.
Okay. I'm like, I think that's I don't know.
Yeah,
so
I'm still struggling
it's in
to
his
find,
nature
like, some,
to
yeah.
be attracted to women. And
right.
so I think you just have to draw a lot of boundaries.
Yeah.
Just as far as when a boy can, how much a boy can see, how many, when it's appropriate to cuddle.
I think he just likes skin though too.
But
because let me explain. Because he'll come in and he has this idea of like putting like high fives, like hand goes with
yeah,
a hand.
Yeah.
And so he'll like pull his belly up and show his belly and then pull my shirt up and take and like touch our bellies and be like, Dad,
yeah, belly
our bellies. Like,
what's weird about that? Your belly buttons are talking to each other. I do that all the time. Me and Teo do that daily. I mean, it's the belly button kiss. You guys don't do that?
That's horrible.
That I'm just here's the thing. I think you're right. Obviously, you establish boundaries, and you don't have to say, this is special mommy, daddy, because God created and I cherish and da-da-da. However, Jack and Luke very well know that daddy and mommy, I mean, we have a very special relationship, and I am not this way. I'm not super huggy and clingy with any other female because God set mommy aside for daddy, and we have a very special relationship. And so that there has been those conversations of that thing because we've had the same things where you're watching Iron Man and Tony Stark's making out with some chick, and it's like, well, that's not cool. Well, why would he do that? Because he's a human being. Because we are all sinners. And is that okay? No, that's not okay. Does it make him any less of an Iron Man hero? Whatever. We're all freaking human beings. Should you do that?
But
no.
Was that a conversation you had at three? I just don't think Seth could comprehend that idea.
Well, Jack and Luke weren't watching Iron Man at three.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? They absolutely were not.
Okay,
you
well, here's
know
the question.
To shelter them from those certain
But what about like Disney Jr.? Now there's a lesbian couple on Good Luck Charlie.
Which is exactly
how do you explain that to a 3 year old?
Well, you don't because your 3 year old shouldn't watch
yeah.
it then.
I'm being
totally serious. For a 3 year old, that's it. You're right. Even that, I don't care if it's ABC Family, the Disney Channel, there are certain things that are just not appropriate. We were watching, are you kidding me? Last week or a few weeks ago, we were watching Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune. And there was a dude who said, hey, hi guys. I just want to say hello to my husband Pedro in the audience. And Jack.
His name was really Pedro?
Yes, I'm not being funny. And Jack goes,
well, you're kind of being
Pedro?
Funny.
I'm not kidding. Pedro? What? That guy? Wait. Did that boy just say he's married to a boy? And it was like, and here we go. Thanks, Wheel of Fortune. And we had to have an entire conversation.
That's the best response ever. Pedro!
I'm not joking! I'll never forget it! That's how it happened. But God provided that moment, and we had that conversation. Because we want to shelter as much as we can, but guess, man, kids are curious, and they're going to ask 1,000 questions.
So you're like, son, let me put on Macklemore, let's talk about this.
Let me just talk about this.
I can't change.
Actually, we watched the Grammys performance. They were watching the Grammys with us, and we had to discuss it and say, look, man, here's what it is. At the end of the day, people are searching for that love and that affection, and they're searching for things, and sometimes it's drugs, whether it's Philip Seymour Hoffman trying to find that in a drug, or this dude trying to find it in another dude, and unless you find it in Jesus, it's going to fail, and it's not right, and there are plenty of things that are wrong, you know, and wrong is wrong, and the only cure is Jesus, and we just try and point it back to God. I mean, there's nothing else you can do but in that childish wonder then say this is the way God designed it, and humans are stupid, and we try and change the rules.
Yeah.
We try and do it our own way, but this is the way God established it. This is the way it is. So, man,
I think this is. I honestly think part of it is. I just think it's he wanted to do what mommy and daddy do.
Of course.
So because it's not just if we're cuddling. If he comes up and I give mommy a hug when I come home, he wants to come in between mommy and daddy and give both of us a hug.
Right.
So I think part of that's just a kid. He sees mommy and daddy hug. He wants to hug too.
Absolutely. And I'll pick my son up and it'll be like the Trinity hug, and we'll do the big group hug, and that's. That's fine, because you're right. They're mimicking you. And guess what, parents? That's what we need to focus on. Our children, whether they're watching Iron Man or watching all these other crazy TV shows, their number one influence is going to be you, Dad. And so we have to be showing them that love, that man, one, we cherish our wives and only our wives. And, man, we are a respecter of women. And because the way that we treat our spouses, the way that we treat other human beings, they're going to mimic it, and they're going to want to do the same thing. You're absolutely right. So,
Yeah.
We're going to talk about another
That's
3 hours off air about
That's
this,
it.
I'm sure.
Pedro!
Pedro! What?
What?
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.